Welcome to Poderosas FC Radio. I'm your host, Maite, and my co-host,
Cristal Esparza,
is here today to help me out and for us to get to know her. All right, well, thank you for coming for the podcast, first of all. I'm excited. This has been a long time coming. You've been avoiding it, but the day is here.
Stop.
You're not the only one. I feel like everybody avoids it, and then it's fine. It works out. Everything's good, you know?
No, yeah. I think it's just, I mean, funny to say, one of your capos gets a little shy when she has to be in front of a mic, but is not as shy being in front of large groups.
20,000 people.
Yeah. 20,000 people. Yeah, maybe I might have been avoiding.
Well, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a little while, but first let's talk about what's been going on with Poderosas, because it's here. Like, the regular season is here. ACFC is back.
We are.
Let's talk about opening game.
Opening game was a very anticipated game. Not only was it like shift from one day to the next because, you know, they had to switch over the game to Sunday. We had amazing runners run the LA Marathon and go straight to the stadium. But we are really glad to be back. Season 3, ready more than ever. And just the prep for it was a lot, just because we had a TIFO, a tailgate, just rallying everybody back together. But it's extremely excited to be back at the stadium.
Oh my God, the TIFO itself, right? I've been watching the NWSL for the last couple of weekends, and other teams have done their own little TIFOs. Nothing compares to, and I'll give Portland credit. I think their opening game is like after we record this podcast, like our TIFO blows everyone out of the water. Shout out to AC Pandemonium.
Shout out to them. Yes, their artist was there throughout the whole time, even the night before rigging. It's a rig system, so we had to be there the night before to set all that up. And it's extremely time-consuming, and it includes and involves a lot of love, time, and effort to making a day like a season opener happen, from coordinating drums, coordinating TIFO, coordinating how we're going to show up in the stands for that first day is a lot. And it's really exciting. It's really exciting behind the scenes.
And I like new faces coming in and helping. And I can tell people have so much pride. Like the people that helped pull up that TIFO, I felt so much pride in it. And I love seeing that in people because, like, yes, it's a labor of love, but like, damn.
There's work. Sometimes manual work. Our pullers did amazing. But yeah, no, definite shout out to ACFC Pandemonium and always, you know, bringing fire TIFOs to our stadium for our games.
Absolutely. Those are our supporter group besties.
See? Shout out.
Yeah, shout out. And, well, another great thing that, you know, fingers crossed, knock on wood, all the things, but we were able to, along with AC Pandemonium and I think another, maybe Mosaic, I'm not sure, but we were able to fly our Palestine flags as we have since day one.
Since day one, yeah.
Without, you know, fear of getting security sticked on us, or at least a lot less.
A lot less. No, definitely. I mean, the NWSL Code of Conduct does not prohibit and does not ban any
particular flag.
It's up to date, and we made sure to, you know, go by that. I think at this point it's now up to every team, every stadium to really show us where they stand. And I do hope and very proudly say that it was because of all of our pushback in recognizing, like, we're not going to compromise our values, and we are going to continue to show up in the stands and in the world in the exact same way. And it's, at the moment, being in solidarity with the people of Palestine.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I got chills from the capo stand just seeing our flags continuously, like, waving throughout the game, throughout the first half, that it just brings so much pride and joy to know that I'm part of a supporter group part of Poderosa is that really provides a lot of care and love and lets you know exactly where we are and what we stand for and who we stand next to.
Yeah, I feel like I felt it when I arrived at the tailgate.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going underneath the bridge, if you know, you know, to like cross in and go to BMO Stadium. And from a distance, I see both Poderosas and AC Pandemonium have Palestine flags flying on their, you know, on their, like, in their areas at the tailgate. I'm like, you know, that's beautiful. I couldn't believe my eyes. Just like a stark difference from last game. So it was great. We were all just incredibly happy to be back together again. And then, yeah, the opening game. I mean, the weird thing is the result was not what we wanted.
Definitely not what we wanted. But we want to start with the loss.
Yeah, but we all were, I feel like, really happy anyways at the end of the game, because we were together. We weren't, you know, we had a good experience in the stands. Mm-hmm. And it was just like, it felt like business as usual in like a good way.
Yes.
You know, and you know, the conflict in Gaza and in Palestine, like, that's still ongoing. That's still like, it's still like so many awful things every single day. Like, everybody has failed Palestine.
Yes.
Quite frankly, like, so it's odd to like have those joyful moments in stark, like, in stark contrast of that. Yeah, but you know, I think, like, we can't be quiet about it anyways. We can't stop showing solidarity, because even 1,000%. If it makes a small difference, like, then it's that small difference. So
it is a small difference. Even some of our members have had moments of where we're out of practice or we're just out in public and we're showing our solidarity with, whether it be pins, whether it be our keffiyehs, and, you know, people out on the street are also thanking us and recognizing that we are standing next to them. They're, you know, just grateful that they have support, even if they just see one of us wear a keffiyeh or wearing like a Palestinian sweater or something regarding our stance with them.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's also a good thing, because when we had our last game, it was like there was a lot of people who were on the fence, and I think continuing to be so adamant about like standing with Palestine here has, like, you know, shown people like, no, like, what Israel is doing is genocide, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
just really standing on what we believe in and what the truth is. So right. It's something. That feels nice, I guess. Yeah.
And even folks that are taking a neutral stance, like, your neutral stance says a lot.
Yeah.
And it speaks volumes. So I would like you to keep that in mind. If you're one of those, like, recognize that, yeah, we all are walking on this earth in different ways with different privileges and whatnot. However, neutrality also hinders and hurts those that are being oppressed.
Yeah, definitely. Well, going on to talk about a little bit of other parts that are of what is new this year with season 3 of Poderosas and ACFC, is we've started highlighting businesses for every single game, away and home. And so please keep an eye out on that, because they're amazing local LA businesses that we stand by. And including the one that we're in right now, always shout out to Espacio, because they stand with Palestine and they're amazing about it, and they're out loud and proud, and they have amazing products. So please come check them out. They're going to be linked on our description, as always. Do you want to talk about the new logo?
Yes. We edited and updated our Poderosas logo to incorporate a soccer ball and a couple other little things in there. Our artist, Gustavo Muniz, they created our logo during the first year of Poderosas via our members Jaime and Kate. And this year, our merch committee went ahead and asked for some edits, and our new logo is amazing. We are definitely going to go run with it. Check out some new Poderosa merch in the future.
And then the last thing that we would just want to highlight in case anybody wants to, you know, help out is our dear friends at Las Fotos Project had a really rough incident and a lot of their things were stolen, and they're currently crowdfunding to get back up and running. And I mean, you may or may not be aware of Las Fotos Project, but they're very involved with Angel City and very involved with Poderosas, and they're an incredible project for the youth who want to be photographers and helping artists here in LA. So we'll also link that. So please go check it out and help out if you can, because they're incredible.
Yeah, they're incredible. Just to add a little bit more, they lost over $50,000 worth of equipment for our youth, and not just the families, but the youth that participated in their programs. Like, they took a big hit. Las Fotos is kind of like a third place for them. And, you know, any and all help, even if it's not monetary, even if it's just sharing their current struggle and, you know, crowdfunding, anything helps.
Absolutely. Yeah. Check them out. Even if it's like to just support them as an organization, mm-hmm. to like check them out. Yeah, they're great. All right. Well, now this is the point. This is the part where we talk about Crystal and who you are. So I'm going to start with, you know, one of my favorite topics is, how did you fall in love with football?
I think like many of us, we grew up watching football. I can remember a game was always playing. My tia Rosa and my mom would always have soccer playing. I didn't grow up playing soccer. I didn't get a chance to, per se, for various reasons. You know, of course, the girls don't play soccer. You know, at that time, growing up, my parents didn't necessarily have capacity to go and pick me up and take me to practice or whatnot. But I've always been a lover of sports, not just soccer, but others. However, I really fell in love with soccer seeing my nephews play soccer when they were growing up. And I was that Thea on the sideline, making sure my kids were having fun, cheering them on. I was told I couldn't use a matraca one day because one, it was too loud and it was discouraging the other young players. I understood that. However, yeah, I'm that Thea that brings a matraca to your sideline. And that's when I really truly fell in love with soccer, seeing how much love and support a sport brought my littles, my nieces and nephews. And as they grew either out of a sport or navigated into another sport, I was always there and, you know, really present as much as I could be, of course. You know, distance for some of my nephews has been hard, but they live in Florida and they don't play soccer, they play lacrosse. But just reminding them, like, hey, you have another person supporting you from really far away. If I can, I'm gonna make it to one of your games this season. So I really fell in love with soccer, just watching my nieces and nephews in sports. As an adult, you know, I didn't necessarily play or whatnot. And I followed the men's team, LAFC. And as soon as I heard ACFC around the corner, I knew that I needed to be there. And I'm really grateful that I'm part of Poderosas. As soon as I saw their inception, I'm like, that's my space. That's exactly where I need to be. And, that's kind of my story.
Well, leading into that, like, you ended up at Poderosas, and, you know, many of us are very grateful for that. But what was your particular experience?
Just the space itself is amazing. It's healing. Like, the power of community. The power of community and women in sports. We don't come across it as often. And as soon as I saw, you know, their mission statement going up where their values are tied to social justice, community care. And what got me was
collective joy.
And yeah. I'm just kind of like, when I was reading the messages and the mission statements, and I knew a few folks there, Daisy, my madrina, I met...
Shout out.
My madrina. That's who I saw post it on social media. And I met Daisy just in passing by. And just in those exchanges, you know, I knew who she was, where she stands, what she does and whatnot. And I'm just kind of like, it would be great to be part of a community that not only am I seeing and reading is our mission statement, or back then the mission statement, but just recognizing the folks that were in those spaces, drew me in. I pride myself on being a Thea, a mentor and a community member. And just seeing that I can be that in one space just really brought me so much joy. And I just knew I needed to be a part of it.
That's amazing. I love that story because I think I have a similar one where it's like there's all these groups that you could join and so many parts of your identity that, you know, you could relate to. But Poderosa just has a vibe, you know?
Yeah.
And if you're drawn in, you're drawn in. You know what I mean?
You really do. I was part of a different group prior to this, but I knew I just needed a dip because it wasn't for me. And as soon as I noticed that Poderosas was created and when they let out their mission statement, I instantly knew. I'm like, that's my support group. And that's where I want to pour all of my love and effort in when it comes to women in soccer.
I mean, I think we all know this by now. Poderosas is not a starter group. Like, mm-mm. We all ride or die for each other. Even if you, like, you know, you take a little bit of a break and then you come back later because you're busy, you have things to do. Like, we always have your back. And that's community. That's, like, it's real. Like,
very.
Yeah, that's why we, you know, other people have called us a small group and tried to use that as an offensive thing. I'm like, I think it's amazing. Like, Crystal, you in particular, you know, like, everybody's name. You know what I mean? You go to, like, the Poderosas tailgates, like, you know everyone.
Yeah.
For, like, the most part. Mm-hmm. I'm not quite there at that level yet, which is why I like doing this podcast, because I get to know you guys. But like, that's how much of a close-knit community, like, members don't go, like, lost.
No,
you know?
Not at all.
Yeah, so.
Even during the tailgates, I'm like, everyone hydrate. There's really a lot of care that comes. Attention and intention is definitely at the center of our group.
Yeah, absolutely. Is there any other things you want to mention about your Poderosa's backstory?
No, I'm a member. I'm a capo for Poderosa's.
She's up in front of the Fortaleza, just like leading us in the cheers. Yeah, that's
one of our rotating capos. And it's just really exciting to be there and to be able to lead chants and whatnot. A little bit of vulnerability. I love being in front of the capo stand just for a number of reasons, but two in particular is I want all of the youth to know that they are supported. And by seeing someone from the group or whatnot, that we are people of color, women of color. I want them to see that and say, hey, you know what? I can do things like this. I can have a spotlight and be actually heard. Aside from that, it gives me a space to, I struggle a lot with anxiety. You might not show it, but it's one of those things where you might not be able to see it in somebody, but it's still there on the inside.
Absolutely.
And having the opportunity to capo allows me to release a lot of emotion and all of the mucky energies that I have when it comes to anxiety. And knowing that I'm channeling that, you know, for a game, for a rally, for us and the crowd, like, it provides a really nice space for me to be able to do that. So one, I want to, you know, tend to that part of myself, that inner child that, you know, whoa, like, I see somebody that looks like me or that I know or is a Thea or whatnot, and, you know, encourage our youth, you know, just to believe in themselves and see, like, damn, they're not shy. They're really out there and they're really supporting. And at the same time, you know, for me, it's a great space to really tend to my body and be like, hey, you know what? I'm going to go on the kettlebell stand this time. Let me pull me in, coach, for that first half. And it helps a lot of the release and anxiety that I have.
I don't think you know how relatable that is. Like, anxiety is a lot to deal with. Yeah. And I think there's a lot of people who find a release in the stands, you know, in front of the stands or behind, but yeah,
scream just that yelling, that yelling where I'm nobody's looking at me, really awkward because I'm yelling. Like,
yeah,
not that I necessarily do that, but it gives me a space where I can. Do that. Oh, okay.
I scream, so I feel that so much.
It just provides this, this little cocoon where it's just kind of like, hey, Crystal, you're safe, and right now, you're just going to cheer on your team and you're going to try to rally everybody around you and you're going to lead chants with the stadium. That it gives me chills, cool chills. But it also reminds me, like, damn, like, this is how you're taking care of yourself by being in a space where you are safe and comfortable and you're out here yelling. I don't want to offend anybody when I'm on the stand. I'm not necessarily yelling at you, but we're just, you know, cheering on our team.
That's a vibe. So, well, speaking of cheering people on, and to move on to our next little segment, who is your player of the pod? Who are you out there screaming the loudest for?
Oh my goodness. Okay, so, you know, because I mentioned it earlier, however, I am really excited about two players, and I don't know if I can pick one. Don't make me pick one.
I don't want to make you pick one because I know how you feel. But I also feel like, you know,
all right,
each player deserves a whole episode.
You know what? Yes, each player does. And I'm just going to go with Messiah Bright. Messiah Bright, I know they have not got enough time on the field yet, but I am ecstatic over having them here at ACFC. Also, like, I saw one of their posts regarding their fit for the game and their attitude and, you know, their character is just amazing. And not just that, I absolutely love seeing women of color on the field. And hearing that we got Messiah Bright, I'm just kind of like, let's go. So, yes, my player of the podcast is Messiah Bright.
That is... Yes, I have her jersey for a reason.
You do?
I do.
Also, thank you for manifesting Messiah coming to our team.
Oh, it was my pleasure. I think she was the win of the off season, like the ultimate get. I love Messiah. Can't wait to talk about her a little bit more here in the game recaps because I think she's a freaking star. I told her I met her, you were the rookie of the year. Sorry, Jenna.
Perdón.
Yeah, sorry, not sorry. So that's a great pick, this episode, player of the pod, Messiah Bright.
Love you.
Absolutely adore that player. What a win. but let's talk about, we're going to head back to opening game because we talked about the behind the scenes, but the main event, which is the actual game itself. Bay FC's first game ever. In the regular season, because we did play them at Coachella, and that was a scoreless draw, but it wasn't a real game, and I think I've explained already why, but we went up against a very tough new team who's
very tough,
very, very, very determined, who recruited like absolute monsters, so much so that
they took
our precious Scarlet Camberos, come back,
but you chose a side, friend.
Yeah, you know, I came into this season thinking like Bay FC, they're gonna be our besties. I was wrong.
Oh no.
They are definitely our new rivals. Yeah, so
you know, we're making a list of rivals.
Checking it twice.
You're on there, you know what I mean? You are on there. They came in really well. I'm on the capo stand, so I can't necessarily see the game.
Yeah,
my focus is the crowd. So I always have to go back and watch these games after when I'm on the Capo stand. However, I do get a chance to see like the jumbo screen at times. Like I can glance over, and Bay FC was coming for us the entire game. I don't even want to say that I was surprised, but I was just kind of like, all right, they showed up with some audacity, like on their first league game. And you know what? Bring it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think I'll say this for both of the first games. We have a lot of work to do still. Mm-hmm. But before I even get into some of these details, check out the Crudo, because Johnson did do a Crudo for that opening game. And that's like straight from La Fortaleza commentary from people who just saw the game and can really capture that, you know, feeling of post game. So please check that out.
Definitely check that out.
But yeah, we had a lot of shaky moments in that first game. I was like pretty scared a lot of the time. But we also had so many shots on goal.
So many shots on goal. That last one that hit the goal post.
Yeah,
it was Vignola. By yes.
Yeah.
It should have gone in.
Absolutely. Like it almost like feels like it feels a little bit like last year, but in these moments, it feels like we're just missing a bit of luck, mm-hmm. you know, because we're trying really hard. You can tell that they're putting training stuff on the field. We had moments where we were bad, like not great, but we also had moments where we, like, quite frankly, should have scored.
Yeah, so I think that's where Bay FC was able to take advantage of that game and lead after their first goal. Just like you mentioned, I don't think our team is not of that caliber at all. It was just a lot of missed opportunities. Nothing to do with our players and their artwork.
Well, you know, that first game, we found out that Oshawala was not here to play mm-hmm. around. She means business. She gave our back line, like, so much hassle. She, like, never let them feel comfortable. I think Sarah Gordon and Nielsen played like it was their like best year. As like they were 25, like they played like absolute superstars. And Anderson, you know, she's great. Anderson's really, really great. She's so young. She's 22. She's a baby, but she needs more experience on her, you know, on her feet. But her hands are good. She catches it. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like her eyes are good. So our defense is strong, and the fact that Oshawala put us under so much pressure, just like that's a warning to every damn team. You know what I mean? This is like a player you can't leave unmarked. You can't look away. You can't get comfortable in the back line for 1 second. And yeah, so Bay FC probably brought in the player of the year. You know, like that was a huge threat, and she scored on us, you know, and that was a mistake that came from our defense. It wasn't like they had a really good play on us. Like, we made a mistake and she capitalized. You can't make mistakes with Oshawala. No.
It's going back to what I mentioned before, is
that they took advantage of our weak points.
Yes, they really did take advantage of our weak points. And just adding to that, Bay FC was not just showing up and letting us know who they were. And us, I mean ACFC. Bay FC showed up to that very first game to let the entire league know
absolutely
who they were. Like, it wasn't just, oh, we're coming after ACFC. No. The way they played is, yeah, we might be new, but we're coming for all of you.
That goalkeeper, she's a Canadian international, that goalkeeper is going to give Sheridan a run for her money. Like, Canada is probably taking her to the Olympics. Like, that goalkeeper was in, I don't want to say that word, it, really, really good. So yeah, enough talking about Bay FC. Let's talk about ACFC.
Enough about Bay FC. Enough like, about you guys. AFC, I mean, ACFC is, I don't know. I don't know how to describe it, but it's going to be my team for life. You know,
yeah, and it's called ride or die. Manas.
It's a ride or die type of situation here. Besties for life. I'm missing a few players here. One, we haven't gotten a chance to see Kristen Press really be on the field with us. Mm. Endo. And don't we miss you?
We took some hits.
going back to our team is really, really good right now, especially with all of the new players that we acquired.
We got some debuts.
We really did.
We got some debuts. We got Messiah, who we already gushed about. We only saw her for 10 minutes, but in those 10 minutes, she challenged the keeper.
Was this also Giselle Thompson's first game?
It was. Right? Giselle also came in for about the last 10 minutes, and she ran circles around every single person. She would pass the ball. Our other player, Merritt Mathias, who also made her debut, would not catch that ball, and she would go after it and get it before, take it away from the other player. Mm-hmm. Like, what Giselle Thompson is going to do on that field, everyone should be scared. I think if she had been in there for 20 to 30 minutes, people would be looking at her the way that we're looking at Oshawala.
I was still questioning why there was such a delay on...
Those subs.
Those subs, yes. I think if those subs came in earlier, it would have been a complete game changer.
Potentially.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. A lot of people agree. Which kind of leads us into the next game, which just happened for us a couple days ago, the away game versus Orlando Pride, where, you know, Becky Tweed ended up doing a lot earlier subs. She took out Messiah. Messiah actually got her start in this game, so congrats to Messiah. It happened because Cindy LaRue was out with illness. Shout out to that Twitter feud that she started with that fan. I love the way that she does social media. She's iconic. But Messiah got the start, and this time we saw a lot earlier subs. And this, I feel like no matter what, this is a little bit of a fan coaching thing, right? Like, we're always going to wish that she did something different.
Mm-hmm.
Because she did these earlier subs. She took out Messiah and put in Johnson. Johnson, you know, didn't capitalize quite as much as I would have wanted. And we also had an injury. We're waiting to hear what happened with Vignola. Vignola got injured in the first half. It looked pretty bad. We still don't know what's going on, but we missed her on that field. Merritt Mathias came out and replaced her, and like, she was fine.
Mm-hmm.
She was okay. She's definitely not as attacking minded or like able to do what Vignola does, but yeah, she went out there. And then later on, and we saw Curry make her debut, which is one of our draftees, the only one that we signed. And we gave in to a lot of corners after she came in. And one of those, Marta capitalized, because you don't leave Marta unmarked.
You don't leave Marta unmarked, ever.
Yeah, so she punished us the way that Oshawala punished us. Of course, we had already scored, so that's the highlight. Emsley scored a penalty. She's pretty freaking good at those. And it was a foul in the box that was drawn by Maggie Doherty Howard, who has been such a highlight. Like, can we talk about our new midfield?
Yes.
Like,
yes,
Maggie Doherty Howard and Fuller absolutely came in and just fixed our midfield. Like, our midfield is amazing right now. And I feel like Orlando Pride figured it out so fast. They're like, if the ball's in the midfield with ACFC, with Maggie, with Fuller, with Amandine Henry, it's game over for us. And they immediately clocked it and didn't let the midfield touch the ball anymore. So, yeah, how do you feel about Maggie, who came from San Diego, or Fuller, who we stole from high school?
Stole from high school. Oh, my goodness.
Like, Fuller was somebody that nobody knew about. She's a 17-year-old kid who's getting scouted by UNC and by Chelsea overseas. Angel City somehow got her. And she's a 17-year-old that plays like a 27-year-old. Just like incredible on the field.
Does she carry the ball with so much knowledge? Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying she takes away the ball from like anyone. Like, she's not afraid to take risks.
Mm-hmm.
She's fast. She's just a talent, an all-around talent. And you know she's a rookie because there are these little tiny defensive mistakes that she's made. But I think what she makes up for it by far in her attack. She's so threatening. Her and also Maggie Doherty Howard, who does have the experience, they play very similarly. Like I said, they're like probably like a 10-year age gap, and they play the same. And just incredible in the midfield. Both of them had so many shots on goal. Like, they are the attacking midfield of my dreams right now.
Are they in your fantasy team?
You know what? They're not. But they're about to be.
Okay.
They're about to be. Unfortunately, Rocky Rodriguez, who is everyone's favorite right now. How do you feel about this Rocky business?
You know what?
Business?
I love that they're here with us. it's just really, she's a midfielder.
She's also a midfielder, yeah, and also right? an attacking midfielder.
Yeah.
So similar to these two.
I'm just really excited to see how they are going to mesh with the rest of our other players. I mean, just like you mentioned, our midfield has really gotten a lot of work done this year. So
I'm so excited.
In regards to Rocky, like, what would you?
Well, she's out with concussion right now.
Is she out with concussion?
Concussion protocol, and so she's missed the first two games, and we don't know how long the concussion situation is going to go on. So I bring it up because I think right now in my little fantasy league, Fuller might take her spot, because Fuller is just, she's playing like a champ. She's playing full 90s, I think. I might be mistaken about that. I think she did get subbed out.
Maybe.
But she's incredible. And I can't wait for Rocky to come in. I really, really, really can't. I love her as a person, as a player.
For someone who's still learning the sport, how long does it take? I suppose it depends by injury, right? How long does it take for a player to be, you know, fully rested and recovered? I mean, you just mentioned that I did not know that Rocky had gotten a concussion. So do you know anything in regards to that? I mean, for someone who's still learning the game.
You kind of hit the nail on the head. It depends.
Yeah.
You know, person to person. We just don't know. Like, a lot of us thought that she could be back by this last game.
Yeah.
But it could be next game. It could mm-hmm. be like next month. We could be next home game. Like, we don't know. We really don't know. My hope is obviously sooner rather than later. Giselle Thompson also took a knock. She missed the last game. It sounds like it's just a little minor ankle injury, like a 2 weeks tops type of thing. But missing both of them already, because
it's felt on the field.
It's felt, yeah, absolutely. And who knows what's going to happen with Emma Vignola. So that would be a huge loss for us too. And it sucks that it's happening so early on and stuff like that. But yeah, this last game, we were up for quite a while, and then we drew at the last minute. But I would argue that, similar to the first game, we had chances on chances on chances. We had so many shots on goal. They just weren't going behind the darn net. Like, yeah, so I hope that we're able to capitalize more. We have so many away games. We have two more away games.
We do, before we get back into the stadium.
Yeah, yeah. So it sucks that they have to do so much time away. But then we have, like, two back-to-back home games, and that'll be sweet. So we're always going to be their support.
I do know that there's a pretty good group going to Kansas City.
Yeah.
So I really do hope that they feel that they're back at home with all of our supporters there.
Yeah, I hope so too, because that's an intense stadium, right? That's a stadium that sells out. It's a new built for women's footy stadium, first ever. It's a big deal.
Yeah, and I think just those long
stretches away from home.
Yeah, stretches away from home. I think it's important for the players to remember, like, hey, we're still here. We're still by your side. So I'm really excited that a large group is going to end up going to KC. A few poderosas, shout outs.
So Danny.
And also Jaime and Kate,
yes, of course.
Yes, they're all going to be there. So we're excited that the players are going to continue getting that love poured on them while they're away. Yeah. It's important.
It is, especially, like you said, so many away games right now. Like, I think it's going to be three in a row.
Mm-hmm.
Three in a row. There's going to be a week break, like a little international break. So heads up on that. Because that's NWSL wide. It's not just Angel City. So let's get a little bit into the NWSL. I'll be brief, because I know that nobody else is like me and watches every single game. But as the ratings stand, or the standings are in the NWSL right now, the bottom two teams from last year are the top two teams right now.
Wow.
Isn't that wild? I mean, it's like a Gotham story. Look at Gotham last year, right? They took the championship, and the year prior, they were bottom of the table. Bottom. Yeah. Have you caught any of the games?
No. No, I have not caught any of the other teams' games. I haven't been following so closely on the other teams, which, you know what, I'm really grateful that you have this space, because it's allowing me to like, oh, I didn't know I can do that, or I need to look more into this. And regarding standings, I did follow Gotham's story where, you know, our first year, our inaugural season, they were at the bottom. And shout outs to them for winning it all the next season. They really put in all of the work and effort to make that turnaround happen. So
absolutely.
But yeah, no, I'm grateful for you in the space, you know. I think part of me being shy was just kind of like, oh, I'm still new to like actually following soccer and all it entails. But we're always learning, and I'm getting even more excited over everything that you're bringing up, because I feel like I'm taking notes and I'm going to go look into all of these things.
Oh, well, that's a part of the fun of having the podcast, because like it's a very time consuming task to watch all these games.
All of the games.
Most people can't do that. I honestly can't do that. I sometimes have two games on at a time so that I can just glance at each. And I get to talk about it here. So yeah. That's kind of a part of the podcast, right? Like, keep people informed, because like people can't, you just can't do that, you know. It's a lot, it's a tall task. But I will say that we're facing teams that are doing really well right now, right? We're facing Chicago and Kansas, who are top of the table right now in our away games. And like, it could be hard. Like, maybe this is me forewarning you guys, like, we're not gonna have easy games anytime soon. So our girls are gonna get challenged. Our girls are gonna need some support.
A lot and, of support.
I mean, obviously, I don't have any doubts that we're gonna be able to provide that, because we always stand for them. But yeah, we have some tough competition, because Casey Current and Chicago are doing so well right now. Yeah, and I will also say that the standings are really not gonna be accurate until after summer. Because there was a dead week for San Diego and Gotham. They did the Challenge Cup.
That's right.
Yeah, and San Diego won that. I mean, like, I guess, you know.
I guess.
barely.
You're on our list too.
Barely won that. But yeah, so the standings will be a little bit off for those two particular teams until, I think, June or July when they make up those games. And
so we really won't know what's what until the summer then.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, we'll have a general idea. Like, we know Chicago and KC haven't lost. We know that Gotham hasn't won, or not Gotham, because they're one of the teams, but Portland has lost a game. We've lost a game. Houston's lost a game. Orlando and Racing Louisville are, like, tied up. Bay FC is a threat. Utah is a threat, I would argue, too. Utah, another other team that is going under fire right now for their little sponsorship with a particular bank. But they are a possession-based team that is really, really good and probably just needs a little time to cook before they start whipping some butt. Like, there's no easy teams. That's what I love about the NWSL. There's no easy teams. Like, and it's
all good. Teams are at the same caliber, where I think it's even more exciting and nerve-wracking at the same time.
Yeah.
Completely. It's just kind of like we're on top of the world, or we can be really crushed in a matter of seconds, because we have really amazing teams that we're up against.
Yeah, it's a very competitive league. You know, like, I think in the WSL, for example, they have these like top five, top six teams that are always winning, and like the bottom 10. Whereas with ours, it's like a 3-point discrepancy from making it to finals or not. Like, that's wild. Like, last decision day being literal decision day, that's wild. Like, it's the most competitive league out there as far as I know. And I'm proud of the league. Even when we get, you know, we don't get the win, I'm like, you know what? That's going to happen. It's so early on. I trust Tweed. There's a lot of new coaches this year. Casey's being coached by Vlatko Andonovsky and our former head coach. Freya Kuhn. And they're playing well. They're playing well. So we'll see how it goes. But I'm excited to what's to come. I will say, this is the first time that I've seen it. I'm only a few years into the NWSL, and I saw Kingsbury got a red card overturned. Did you see about that?
I did.
Isn't that wild? We need to start doing that. I'm going to start appealing every yellow card.
Every yellow card. The refs during our first season game weren't the best either.
We had some questionable refs.
We did.
Yeah, and it's like when you start knowing them by name, that's a problem. So we'll see. I don't think we've had terrible reffing yet. We haven't had great reffing either. We did boo the refs out of the stadium. There's a couple of questionable non-penalty calls in that first game that did make us very angry.
But yes, I need to go back and look at those highlights for that overturned red card.
Same. I didn't catch that whole game.
Yeah, I didn't catch the whole game either.
Yeah, but congrats to Kingsbury getting it overturned because they were down Rodman that first game. And Rodman's one of my favorite players to watch. She's a magician. She's a magician. So next part of our podcast is Adelante, which is the upcoming games discussion. And like I said, we're going up against Kansas first, who is top two in the table right now. It's going to be a hard game. It's going to be a hard, hard game to play. And yeah, I don't know. Are you going to be tuning into this game? It's on Saturday.
It's on Saturday? Yes. We have a packed Saturday, and in one of our next topics, I'll talk about our goals for Gaza. But yes, Saturday, I will be tuning in for that game, prepping for that weekend. I just need a win. I need our first win. We need our first win this season, and I'm hoping that's when it's going to be. Even when it's away, we're just going to show. Yeah. I want us to show everybody that even during these last two losses, we're going to show up and we're going to show out. And we're going to get our first win on the road.
We're going to learn. That's what I'm hoping for. Every single loss is hard. So learn. No excuses. So that's coming up on the 30th of March. And then that's followed by a break. And then on April 13th, we're going to Chicago, another away game, another team that's doing really great because they have Swanson back. And I love Mallory Swanson. I was so sad when she got injured prior to the World Cup. That was heartbreaking. But she's now back. And it was she was never gone. The girl is playing better than ever. She's just outrunning everyone, running circles. She's a little Giselle Thompson vibe. She's incredible. So as much as I don't want her facing my team, I am looking forward for her to do well because she's a great player from the national team, and I want her to have a little Olympics comeback. So looking forward to that. Do you have players from other teams that you're
not as of yet, but yes, I know that Marta, of course, growing up, seeing her as well.
Yeah, she was a force to deal with on this last game. It was very much a Marta versus Sarah Gordon. Mm-hmm. And, ooh, I don't know if you guys saw it, but, Marta was pissed. She, hit the ground, just furious out of her mind, and then she made us pay later on. So that's a good one. Marta's a good one to look out for.
Marta's a good one that I've followed before. And prior to this, I'm just going to be completely honest. I did not follow women in sports prior to this because it was not something that I was brought up with. And now as an adult, I'm going back and nurturing that younger crystal of, hey, players were doing this. Of course I knew the Mia Hamms. I knew,
I knew the names, Alex Morgan.
But I didn't get a chance to really involve and really spend a lot of time with sports growing up in the hood.
Yeah.
Priorities were elsewhere. School and whatnot. So I don't have many players. Just as I mentioned earlier, I feel like I'm very new to women in sports. Along with a lot of our friends and members in Poderosas, some of this is new. The sport isn't new to us, but following women in sports is, for the most part, kind of new. I started watching, maybe not watching, but really tuning into the Femenil games in the Liga Femenil.
Yeah.
We're about to have a tournament with Liga.
That's a great point. I didn't even put that on my outline, but let's talk about it. What an exciting thing, right? Like, it's going to be basically every single team in the NWSL versus, like, six Liga MX teams. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, for those that tuned into the Gold Cup, Mexico, they're on the rise. Like, that league is up here.
I also want to know why they have so many NWSL teams and didn't invite more.
It could, I mean, my speculation is that it could be because the tournament's going to be mostly here in the U.S., if not all here in the U.S.
They're not afraid.
I mean, it could be. I don't know. But I also think it's an NWSL-hosted event, right? Like, it's our tournament. So it could be something to do with that. But it's quite exciting. At least I think so. That's going to be running, I think, concurrently with the Olympics.
Yeah, with the Olympics.
So the NWSL is definitely going to be playing at a disadvantage without all our national team players. Not all of them, but a lot of them.
The only thing that I know is, yeah, we're hosting a lot of the games are going to be at Titan Stadium. I believe it's in Fullerton.
Yeah, that's where the first couple games were?
That's, yes.
I didn't go to those games, so.
No, actually, yes. Yeah, yes, they were.
It is that one. So what was your experience like at those games? Did you go?
I went to the very last game that they hosted there first prior to our.
I'm hearing horror stories about stairs.
Those stairs are scary.
Okay.
Those stairs are scary. Actually, that was my first Capo debut.
Oh,
yeah, Daisy was like, no, you do it. Just go do it, friend. Like, you got this. But that stadium, the stairs are scary.
Okay.
The stairs are scary. Okay. However, that stadium is pretty neat. Like, you're very close to the pitch.
Okay.
There's no bad seat there. It's intimate.
Okay.
There's no bad seat there.
Do we have
We're all gonna deal with traffic. We should.
Okay.
We should have a supporter section. It hasn't been really defined in regards to our ACFC players, but I mean, we're still going to be showing up. We're going to pull up.
For sure.
And yes, the games are going to be at Titan Stadium. We were told it was due to, of course, availability. Like, we are guests at BMO Stadium, so
yeah.
There's a lot that goes on there. It's not just one team, but also a lot of concerts and other events that the stadium has. So the ACFC games are going to be hosted in Fullerton at Titan Stadium.
Yeah.
Because of that.
Yeah. So I think it's just called the Summer Cup.
Yeah.
And so it's happening this summer, and the teams that are going to be included for Liga MX is Tigres, one of my favorites. America, Chivas, Rayadas, Pachuca, and Tijuana, which from my understanding, these are some of the best teams from them. Like, America and Tigres have been switching off for the championship for like years. So I'm really excited. I'm really excited to see the Mexican players play again, because watching them during the Gold Cup was phenomenal. I loved watching Mexico play, but how lucky, you know, we can go to those, we can go to the San Diego ones and watch these international teams, you know?
Yeah.
So I wish it was more teams too from Liga MX. That's a good point. But it kicks off July 19th. There's 33 matches, and a lot of it is going to be group stage. And it's going to be a four-team semifinal round in August, basically. So championship is going to be highly delayed for some reason. The championship match is going to be like the weekend of October 25th. We don't even know which day.
Yeah.
So I'm excited. I really hope that, you know, it's a big learning experience. We get to play the players that sit on the bench a lot, and they get to grow a little bit. Like, look at Anderson. Anderson played the Challenge Cup last year, impressed everybody. Now she's our starting keeper. So I love a little discovery. Yeah. Okay. Well, thanks for helping me promote that, because I forgot. But yeah, like, going back to what you said earlier, like, I don't even think it's, I think it's like the fault of like society, right? Like,
even
FIFA or even like these bigger organizations, they don't promote the women's game. Yesterday,
no.
I had the games playing at my house the whole day, and we had a lot of guests over, and everyone was like, oh, is this college soccer? I'm like, no, this is a professional league that plays here in LA. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, the amount of information that goes out there is like, it's nothing. Like, I seek it out.
It's minimal, close to nothing. And I think that's why, you know, me bringing up like, hey, like, I didn't know of this, I didn't know of that. Like, no, I haven't followed players my whole life.
Yeah, it's not your job to. Like, It's my job too.
and yeah, going back to your point, there's a lot of societal norms that prevented us from being involved in those spaces. But what I'm really grateful and glad about is now in our adult years, we are able to tap back into that and, you know, maybe watch games from a few years ago with all of these like greats, these mujeres that have been great in the sport and really paved the way for our Thompson sisters and whatnot, yes. Like all of our young players. So yeah, I want to reclaim that and reclaim that space of saying like, damn, like I just didn't look into this and feeling like it was my fault. I think it wasn't. And it was just like you mentioned, it wasn't as promoted. It wasn't as seen. Often.
Absolutely. I'm super excited that, you know, more people are getting more into it. The NWSL's viewership is skyrocketing ever mm-hmm. since ACFC and San Diego joined the league. And now Bay FC, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. This is growing. And, you know, we're now on Prime. We're now on ESPN. Like, mm-hmm. this is going to make a huge difference. A Summer Cup, I think, is going to make a huge difference after the Gold Cup. Like, yes. These things are going to, like, snowball, and you're going to be informed one day without even trying. And that's the future that I feel for women's football.
And one thing that makes me really happy is our youth now know no other world prior to this. Mm. They only know that women are in sports and they belong and they're deserving of all of these spaces and accolades of all of this. Like our youth know nothing else besides this is a staple in our life now. Like women in sports. Like I don't know anything. I don't know a different world aside from that. As opposed to me, like you know, I'm saying like, oh, like I didn't follow this when I was younger. I didn't it wasn't as visible for me. It wasn't present in my life.
Yeah.
And seeing that now, it makes me really happy that our youth and our kiddos get a chance to have that.
For sure. That's a great note to end on, because that's kind of what we do it for, right? Like, we're doing it for us, the youth inside of us, but then also like, yeah, passing that on to everyone and making a safe space for them. So that's an incredible point. And we can now end off by plugging some really cool stuff for you guys to check out, including our LA Business of the Pod. What do you have for us?
Let's see. Something that I've gotten into recently is ceramics. My dear friend, Marlon Marinero, will definitely plug his information in. He provides throwing classes and hand building classes with ceramics that definitely tapped into like a younger Crystal, where she would be taking ceramics classes in high school. So shout out to my friend, Marlon Marinero. They have classes and individual classes available for you to sign up and take a class with them, whether it be wheel throwing, make yourself some platos or hand building, unos vasos de café.
Yes.
Definitely with some hand building. A few poderosas have made mezcaleros with Marlon before. And yeah, check out Marlon Marinero. They are located, their studio is located in Montebello, and we'll definitely link them here.
Perfect. Sounds great. I've never done it before, but maybe I'll, you know.
It's going to be fun. Yeah. Maybe it could be an event that we host or something.
That's a good idea. All right. Well, let's talk about, do you have any other recommendations that you just want to like shout out? Like me personally, I just read a book called Piñata.
Yeah.
And oh my God, I didn't write down the author, but I'll put it in the notes. But it's a horror book, and I've never thought that I could get into it, but the way that they tie in like the history of Mexico and being colonized into this horror genre and like this underlying trauma, it's beautiful. You guys have to check it out. Love this book. I'm gonna plug it. It reads like a movie. It's beautiful. So
our Poderosas book club is currently reading Soccer versus the State, Tackling Football and Radical Politics by Gabriel Kuhn, K-U-H-N. And it serves both as an orientation for the political conscience of football, the supporter of football, and inspiration for those who try to pursue the love of the game away from televisions and big stadiums And brings it back to the alleys and the muddy pastures. So our Poderosas book club is currently reading that. Check it out.
Yeah, check it out. I just purchased it. I will start reading it soon. But as we've said before, soccer is political. So it is. Football is political.
Aside from our book, I want to also promote our upcoming event. We're partnering up with Goals for Gaza, calling all footballeros in support of Palestine. We are raising fundraising money for Gaza, for Palestine. The event is on the 30th of this month from 8 to 12 p.m. They are currently looking for players. So what it is, it's a small tournament for folks to sign up for. All of the money and proceeds are going to Palestine. It's a fixture to take action and raise funds towards the humanitarian crisis in Gaza and occupied Palestine. It is going to be kind of like a football tournament that Poderosas are partnering with. They're currently looking for players, no fees. Folks have actually sponsored players and put money down. So if you are wanting to pick up a soccer ball, play for a cause, come join us Saturday morning. It is going to be at Elysian Park. We are going to plug all of that information here. So shout out to Goals for Gaza for reaching out to us.
Absolutely. And do check that out on the Poderosas Instagram, Poderosas_ACFC, because that's where all the information is as well. So please come join the event.
Yeah.
Perfect. All right. Well, thank you so much, Crystal. I'm always so excited to learn more about like members who are the OGs. That's what I consider you, one of the OGs, and you're always at every game. You're a Cape Capo. So thank you so much for sharing your story with us, sharing your experiences with us, and like learning with me and bringing up the Summer Cup, because that was crucial.
No, thank you for having me, and it's always a pleasure to be in sharing space with you.
Awesome. Thank you. All right. Bye, guys.
Bye.